In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So there was a wind shift yesterday, and finally saw the most beautiful, amazing, deep blue skies. I don't know if you saw the moonrise last night, but when it was fully up, it was this brilliant white, absolutely full moon, just glorious. And it was so noticeable because of how brownish orange the skies have been all summer long. Don't ever remember the skies being this brown for this long, the whole summer, and last year too. Bad fires again this year, Canada in the west, second year in a row, third in the last 5 year, fires and drought have plagued our western states. In fact, the boundary waters closed yesterday due to fires. In other news, Afghanistan has fallen to the Taliban, and now that war-torn land is facing a humanitarian crisis of unimaginable proportions. In other news, the stinking pandemic is rearing its ugly head again. Just this past June, everything was so much better. Rates were way down, COVID units in local hospitals closed. And now it's back with a vengeance. Delta variant is overrunning ICUs in many parts of the country. I heard in Louisiana they're having patients, ICU patients, in garages. They're so low on space. And now there's whisperings of the Lambda variant brewing in South America. Mental health crises are on the increase, and should we be remotely surprised? And this should be our finest hour, where we come together and work as one. But no. As our bishop mentioned in his letter this past week, divisions in society instead grow worse. Divisions in politics, divisions in families, even in the church itself, people backbite over responses to this dreaded disease. And that's on a national and global scale. Next question is, how about you? How are you doing? How are you reacting? And who isn't facing demons of their own, whether family or sickness or internal anxiety or economics or grief or simply your empathy for the world? We all have our personal crosses as well. A friend of mine from college, I haven't seen him in a long time. He's a deacon in the Orthodox Church, and he's a professor at a university of theology. His name is Deacon Nick Denisenko. His wife, Tresha, 48 years old, died suddenly last week, just this past week. I don't know all the details. She was doing humanitarian work in Haiti for IOCC, International Orthodox Christian Charities. And she had some kind of medical emergency, was flown to Miami, and did not make it. It just, all of this together, and of course, then some, each with our own, it just seems like we were in the middle of a very long night. Now, maybe you're thinking, Father Chris, why so cheery this morning? Well, I don't rehash all this bad news to scare anyone. I don't do it to be dramatic. I don't say it because I think the world is somehow growing progressively worse. It's not. The world is not growing worse. We've had peaks and troughs since the beginning of time, and we always will. But the things I've mentioned are real. They're happening. It's not drama. I actually bring them up because I am an eternal optimist. An eternal optimist. Because the gospel is good news, and the gospel is bigger than all of these things put together and then some. These troughs, these long nights were predicted by the gospel, and we are also provided with a solution, a salvation. You know, actually, the long night that we're in right now was predicted particularly in today's gospel lesson. In fact, our gospel lesson today is our past couple of years in a nutshell, if you're willing to see it symbolically. After feeding the 5,000 families, Jesus dismisses the crowds and then compels the disciples to get in a boat and cross over the sea. He stayed on shore to pray. Now the disciples, they get caught in a windstorm on the open water. And don't think for a minute that Jesus didn't know the windstorm was coming. Of course he knew. Jesus knew it was going to be rough. And here's the clincher. He doesn't come to them until the fourth watch of the night. Each watch was 3 hours. There were 4 watches in a night, which means he didn't come till the very end of the night. He let them go through the first watch, the second watch, the third watch, and some amount of time through the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch was the last. So Jesus left them on open water, in a windstorm, in the dark, all night long. And he did it on purpose. This story, this event is a prediction of the trough we're enduring right now. We're caught in a small boat in a windstorm in the dark through a very long night. That's us. That's this world. That's you and me. That's what we're going through. Now, why does Jesus permit this? He permits his disciples to be caught in storms first so that we might learn to endure them bravely. So we might learn to endure trials bravely. And second, so that we might know his power. So that we'll stop relying on our power and might know his power. Jesus wants us to be brave in the face of trials. You know, we don't need to ask for a swift solution to our misfortunes, whether they're great or small. Swift solutions are for the weak. We can face them bravely, in part because of the gifts and talents and character God has already implanted in you. But more importantly was the second thing I just mentioned is that so we know his power. He is the one who can do all things, so take courage. Jesus is Lord over the storm. He walks on water to demonstrate his divinity, that he is God having come among us. And as God incarnate, he is Lord over the storms, and he is Lord over our troubles, and he is Lord over our trials, and he is Lord over our misfortunes. And here's the grace-filled part. Jesus gives that lordship to his disciples, to his followers. Here in our lesson today, he gives that lordship to Peter. You know, the 3 women in my family have a matching t-shirt. They have matching t-shirts, the 3 women. And it says, they whispered to her, "You cannot withstand the storm." She whispered back, "I am the storm." They say, "You can't withstand the storm." She says back, "I am the storm." All 3 women in my family have that t-shirt. That's the gospel, at least when we have faith. Jesus is the Lord over the storm, and he shares that lordship with his followers. We become the storm when we have our faith in him. And here Peter gets up out of that boat and walks right over to Jesus on top of the water. He literally steps on the storm. He tramples the storm under his feet. By faith, Peter is the storm that the storm's got to worry about. Now, like us too often, Peter's faith wavers. It's not that Peter had no faith. It's just that his faith was too small. Jesus says, "Why such little faith?" He doesn't say, "Why such no faith?" He says, "Why such little faith?" And that's where the world finds us right now. In a world of division, even in the church, in a world of natural disasters, in a world of uprisings, of disease and loneliness and pain and grief and confusion and uncertainty, it's not that we have no faith, but that we bring too little faith. Jesus lets this trough, this long night continue so that we might finally increase our faith, so that we might learn to trust in him, and so that we might know his power. And when we do learn to trust his power, it no longer matters how long the night lasts, or how much the wind howls, or how much the waves beat against the boat. When we learn to trust his power, that doesn't matter. When you trust in the Savior's power, the storm is nothing but water under your feet. You become the storm when you trust the Savior's power. And in the light of Christ, no matter how smoky the air, no matter how brown and orange the days are, the skies in the light of Christ are always deepest blue, and the moon shines its most brilliant white. Amen.